Blog Talk Radio.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
I should have played this, but once again, Willie Mays, who always saw as the candy man of baseball. As Thursday, we baseball digest, man, time flies, man. As Thursday, baseball digest gave Willie Mays the magazine's first lifetime Pigman Award. And beat out for other people that would recommend. One was his friend, a great Hank Aaron, greatest home run hitter, right-handed side of the plate. And Hall of Fame center fielder was honored last Thursday with a new accolade to be given annually, recognizing a living individual who made significant contributions to the game. And Mays, who turns 90 next month on May 6th, was chosen over five other finalists and voted by a panel of longtime baseball writers, broadcasters, and historians. And Mays made 24 All-Star teams, won two National League MVP awards, 12 Gold Gloves, during his Jackson career from 1951 to 1973. Moved the Giants from New York to San Francisco, then finished up with two seasons back in the Big Apple playing for the Mets. Ranked sixth on the career chart of 661. One time he was second. Well, as they say, it's history. I thought another on this apropos for Willie too was
The candy man can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Remember the first time I met Willie, came back and did a piece like this. And Frank Bannister, my first mentor in radio, and I told him, you know, Willie reminded me of the Candyman, the joy he brings, the way the kids love him. Willie thinks that the kids, you know, kids are the greatest. And they wish that the kids ran the world, what a wonderful world it would be, as Sam Cooke said. It just reminded me, and if Willie Mays, unquestionably, is the greatest all-around player, what are you hearing? Sammy Davis Jr., not Michael Jackson. Prince. Greatest all-around entertainer in the history of entertainment. What are you hearing? Sammy Davis Jr. And like Willie Mays, who had a child's heart, love and desire for game, Sammy had the same thing for entertainment. From the Bob Talk Radio and Trust the Government Network. And congratulate them at the same time, too.
With a child's heart, oh, face the worries of the day. With a child.
As always, opening hopes are on the line. Gospel song.
In the Bible days, she had been sick, sick so very long.
51-8. Folks, watch that Bob Talk Radio and Trust the Government Network. Believe. Them tables coming back.
She joined the gathering throng, and while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said it was him on your garment, I know I'll be made whole right now. She stood there crying, "Oh, oh, 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 Lord, and oh, Lord." Said if I could just touch the him on your garment, I know I'll be made whole right now.
You're listening to Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network, the Doc Stanley and Fox, where we rope the rumors, solve tidy issues, and brand the truth. Trust in God.
Hello, Thursday. Happy attracts happy and fun-loving people. It's like a magnet. You attract what you are to yourself. Be happy, be positive. Have a great Thursday. Sent this to me by my sister, Helen. And it's time to get into prayer now. So we're going to let John Coltrane once again lead us in prayer. And then, hey, it's time to talk to the hoopster. Tebow, back, Rogers departs. Don King says, baby, only in America. And with that, let me get ready and find us a good prayer. Don't move. John Coltrane leads us in prayer. as we do a Sports and Depth Thursday. Tebow back, Rogers departs, NFL, NBA, the Hoopster is here, Zier, prayer time. Take off your hats, take a moment or two. I should know what I should get a prayer. Let me see if I can find that prayer that was done by DMX. Don't move. Hey, here's Coltrane, lead us in prayer with the music. Come on, Mr. Train.
Yeah, we'll call in. Okay, Temple, baby. Waiting for you. What we're going to do, we're going to let DMX lead us in prayer.
Got to leave on a prayer.
Got to leave on a prayer.
Totally right. Okay.
Well, I'm going to need your hat off on me.
All right. Well, I mean, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. Let's touch and agree, man. Touch and agree.
There we go. Let's don't get my hairline, Jimmy. I'm going to get shaved right now.
It's all right, baby. It's all right. Father God, we thank you for this gathering of souls. See that when two or more gather your name, that you are present, so we thank you for your presence. We ask that your grace and blessings are upon us this day. We pray that any obstacle the devil plans to place in our path be removed in the name of Jesus. We pray that you have your will, have your way in our lives, Father, for we didn't make us so we couldn't possibly know what to do with us. We thank you for the things that most people take for granted, Father. The air we have to breathe, the food we have to eat, the clothes we have to wear, the cars we have to drive, the money we spend, the lives we touch, and the lives that are touched our own. We ask that we're able to be a blessing to others as well as ourselves. We ask to be reminded of the power in the spoken word, Father, because we can defeat the enemy with the spoken word. All we have to do is remember to say it, remember to use it. The word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The word doesn't say that the weapon won't be formed. The word doesn't say that the intention of the weapon maker won't be to harm you. The word doesn't say that they won't attempt to use it. The word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So no matter what they think, no matter what they make, no matter what they try, by the power of the word, we are covered. We humble ourselves before you. We praise your name and give you the glory. We praise your name and give you the glory. We praise your name and give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
That was a Breakfast Club prayer by DMX, and a lot of people knew him. Talked about what a devout, religious, God-fearing man. You know, because, you know, because you're religious don't mean you're righteous, because you're righteous don't mean you're religious. And this is one of the prayers that came out. I had a couple, too, before. And, hey, DMX, let's in prayer here. And, wow, we remember him for order things, but that there is the top of the list. And he says what Sam Cooke says here.
Wonderful God, so wonderful. He's wonderful God. He's so wonderful.
Amen. Now, he's usually talking about basketball. As I say, the Hoopster from the top of the key outside of the gym, the Hoopster puts it right through the rim. Can it be said, oh, done by NFL? That's a piece of music I think I never did. Kind of close. Dr. Danny's What's That Blog Talk Radio on Touch Discovery Network. You know, I have a line with the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse. Sports and Depth is to the world in depth. Now, I got the Hoopster. Instead of talking about NBA, it's calling about NFL. And Hoopster gives me a call, Ed, and it's like I wanted to do a Thursday show today because it was a draft. Hoopster says, hey, Doc. Hey, Aaron Rodgers wants out. Now, what are the three teams you said he wanted to go to, Hoopster?
The Raiders, the 49ers, or Denver.
You know what? A lot of people thought, Ed, remember, because he's a California. I think a lot of people.
Don't forget, one more, Doc. It's shocking when I told you about your man, from Tim Tebow.
Hold on, Tebow. You know, Ed, a lot of people don't realize that the 49ers were the team that a lot of people thought Rodgers was going to go to, because Ed Rodgers is a West Coast guy.
Yeah. He also, I got word that he was reaching out to the Rams as well.
That's still West Coast. I mean, he's a West Coast guy. It's remarkable how those guys, you know, and that's got to be, I asked, I forgot his name now, the great defensive, the only guy to win the Heisman Trophy as a defensive player, he'll come back to me. And I remember the Raiders were in town, and I asked him, was it a just
Charles Wilson?
Thanks a lot, Hoopster. And I asked him, I remember, because sometimes when we're in the locker room interviewing guys, and you cite a question, and you look later on, it's one of the questions that they used for the post-game notes. And I asked him, was there adjustment in playing football in, you know, warm weather and cold weather, especially he's a West Coast guy. And I'll read that response. Do I have that thing in me here? I had it before. Maybe I'll get a little response he gave me. I think I do have it. Hold on. This happened to have it, boys. One of the things happened right here. And I asked him, the question was, on being a warm weather team comes to New York, the fundamentals don't change. As long as you play fundamental football, it doesn't matter what the temperature is. That was his response. And we also have one of his gloves, Charles Woodson, in our Trust in God Sports and Intertech Entertainment Hall of Fame, the only man to win the Heisman Trophy as a defensive player. Wow.
Should have got my a picture favorite with him, player, so. Too. He's my favorite.
Yeah. And you know what, Hoopster? And NFL Ed, another guy that played in Green Bay. And
one or two beat my Steelers. Beat my Steelers. And he was hurt.
Yeah, well, I knew you'd remember that. I didn't want to bring it up. And the other thing
you
said, and me and Lady, I'll see if I can get her to jump. Me and Lady were talking about today. She called me, Doc, you know what I mean? Don't hold you long, you know. What about the Jets? And right there with them, Ed. And I talked about how I had just basically soured on them, let them go outside of my PR people. My man Jared Weekly, Nick, and lovely Megan. And and one of the reasons why I had this deletion from them or deleting them was the way they treated Tim Tebow. And then Hoopster calls and says, Tebow's coming back? Hoopster?
Yes, he did a secret tryout with the Jacksonville Jaguars, because him and the coach was to play with him at University of Florida.
Aaron Myers. Urban Meyer was the head coach with him with the Florida Gators, as the gentleman said. And also, Urban Meyer is now the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, okay. And Tebow goes in and, works out as a tight end with the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right. I'm still doing a go figure one, you know, who would have thunk it type of thing. But that's what I'm hearing. You gentlemen hear anything else, but, you know.
Yeah, I heard
it
today.
Like,
and Rodgers, that was a shock.
Yeah. And they're also saying that the Packers, the best thing they can do now, if that's the case, where Aaron is not happy, then let's, you know, you should do it tonight because here's, you know, draft pick night, you know. And maybe you can barter for that. But it's very interesting just on the eve of the NFL draft, you know, tonight at 8 o'clock. So,
yeah, it's going to be I want to ask Ed a question. You know, I'm a big Steelers fan. Who the Steelers should be drafting in this draft? Who do you think they should pick? A running back? They should get a running back because Connors just signed with the – Arizona Cardinals.
Right. Well, see, and it's something that, like, the Steelers are closing in on an extension for this guy, Mason Randolph, okay? So does that mean that the days are numbered for their man at QB?
They just signed that boy from Washington, too. The one that, the Redskins let go, they signed him, too, the Steelers. The one who got cut by the Redskins on the Washington team, I'm sorry. He signed with
the quarterback?
Steelers. Yeah.
You talking about, what's his name? His last name is Smith. Ain't it Smith?
No, he retired. Alex Smith retired.
Yeah.
He retired.
You're talking about, I keep thinking Smith for some reason. Yeah, but you're right, he retired. I forgot who the quarterback was at Washington. There wasn't a lot of interest in football.
He played with Ohio State. He was an awful quarterback too. Then he went to the Washington team. He didn't do too well. Then the Steelers picked him up. So now they got three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
So Ben had restructured his contract so they could try to sign more players.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Steelers waited too long. They should have waited to draft a quarterback and try to groom him. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But it's been on Ben, so I don't know.
No, you bring up an interesting point, NFL. Dr. Ace wasn't there, Block Talk Radio, Trusting God Network. You bring up a tremendous point. You know, draft night, if you want to get the best out of Rodgers, and there was a talk, a vicious rumor, as the great Timothy F. Smithy would say, as rumor has it, he was going to give up football and just be a game host show to Ed.
He still does it on the side. He still do it on the side. Jeopardy?
But the talk was that it wasn't going to be a side thing. It was going to be a full-time thing. You know, it was going to be...
He did like five shows. He did pretty good.
Yeah, but the talk was that it wasn't going to be... It was going to be a full-time job. He was going to walk away from football. It seems to be a lot of... Ed, bad taste and dissension on the play calling when they played Tampa Bay. Ed, that seems to be – do you think that's part of a lingering factor?
Well, because first of all, everyone said he could have ran and probably would have scored. The way
right.
the coverage was breaking down and the line, and he had a gap like you wouldn't believe, correct? And then he probably would have scored. And Aaron can't move, you know, and he's kind of scared to slide in or go ahead first. And if it was for the touchdown, he would have won the game. But instead, had to stay back, and he threw an incompletion, and they settled for three. And that was the game, in my opinion. All right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we think the Steelers should draft.
What's up, Doc?
Yeah. Can you join us on the show?
No, I can't, sweetie. I'm in the middle of something. I thought you wanted something happened.
You know what?
Right?
Hold on. Can you give me a quick comment now, right here?
No. What's going on?
Hold on. Let me get. Fellas. Let me speak the phone. Got Lady 80 here. Jump shot, and not jump shot. Got Hoopster.
Hey.
Okay, I just wanted... Oh, well, hold on, Lady. Where are these guys? Where are you guys at? What's that happening? On my speakerphone. Okay, I'm mute. Hey, don't move. I'll call you back. What the hell happened here on my phone? after B-Hop won the title. He's going all around town with him doing new benefits and stuff. But that you're talking about, right, hey, lady, I remember Lou DiBella crying at ringside as Bernard Hopkins was beating Tito Trinidad. And you're right. The guys who have been disenchanted and disheartened with Don King, Tim Witherspoon, who against Bone Crusher Smith, all but gave his title up just to be free from Don King.
Yeah, like I said, and then look what happened now with Canelo. Something as current as Canelo. Canelo not being happy with Oscar. So, and Canelo is Oscar De La Hoya's cash cow. You know that. We've had conversations about that also. So, you know, I mean, look, it ends up transcending itself. You know, and when people aren't happy, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean that people aren't happy monetarily. You know, that's the only criteria.
Wow.
I mean, sometimes it's not. That's not just the only criteria why people are not happy. I know nowadays with today's youth and everybody, everything's about money. But for some people, it's not about the money. Sometimes it's about other things, you know?
You know, and when I say, ladies and gentlemen, I told you with in-depth knowledge and the very intellect of Doc's Posse, and we're talking about the foremost proponent and authority in boxing, in the history of boxing, the first lady of the Sweet Science, Lady A, got Ed here, Jumpshot Jonesy, Hoops Up. You know what? Terry Pendleton is validating what you said. He said, I took $500,000 less to sign with the Braves than come to New York. I mean, tell me, he said, I took $500,000 less, okay, you know, per year on a contract to go to Atlanta instead of come to, he said, I didn't want to subject my family to the New York press and people. And he.
But Doc, you don't even have to go that far. We're talking about New York. Look at what Jeter did. Jeter took a cut.
Yeah,
you don't gonna find a lot of athletes that are gonna do it, you know. But you do have a handful of athletes that do it, you know. Because it's just not, they're not happy, you know. Whether it's, you know, because you have an offensive coordinator don't like, they're not happy with the coach, the head coach, you know, they're not happy with their promoter in boxing, you know, maybe they're not happy with the coach in baseball, but you have it. It happens, you know. I never forget, I was watching the interview, and I'll leave you with this, Doc, because I can't stay on long.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But I was listening to Keith in the booth with Ron Darling, and they were talking just baseball, and they said, and this was really, really eye-opening to me, but they said this as true, and they said this as something that they knew to be true. It's like, if you were to ask the players today, would they rather win a championship or get more money? He said 9 out of 10 would be like, they get more money. They don't care about the championship. That says a lot about some of the players today. So, you know, I thought that was jaw-dropping to me. I thought it was jaw-dropping. I mean, specifically, of course, because Keith and Ron Darling covered baseball, but, you know, I just thought it was eye-opening. I mean, for him to even say that on national TV, right, I thought that was pretty eye-opening. But I'll leave you with that, Doc, all right? I got to go, but tell everybody in the panel, hello, and
everybody
hopefully
say,
I'll move
okay,
who's
good?
All right, take care.
Real quick.
Hey, boxing expert.
All right, man.
Well,
thank you. Okay. All right. Hey,
bye.
What's up? All right. We'll talk soon, Doc. All right.
Okay,
I got to go. All
okay.
Right. Take care. To all the fans out there, you know, I haven't been on for a while, so, all right?
Yeah, they
all right. We'll speak soon. All right.
Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Block Talk Radio, Trusted Guy Network. Got a chance to get Lady A to come in here, and, you know, anytime I can get her or any part of my crew here. And she said something that, you know, the situation with Rogers and Wilson. You know, it didn't happen overnight. This has been a snowballing effect. So, you know, it's a situation, you know, Ed, where, you know what, you are upset and you're saying, you know what, I don't like the way they did my eggs. I'm not eating in here anymore. Or, you know what, you didn't put 2 sugars in my coffee. You're done. It was the final straw in a situation, Ed, that's been accumulating for some time. And that, you know, do you concur? Rogers has not been happy there for a while?
Yeah, also, there was, it's going back maybe a season or two ago, but also his receiving core, there were issues there with that. They finally got that corrected, healthy, however you want to phrase it. So, you know, he's had his little, bumps with the Packers, because otherwise, I think, and he probably thought, he should have maybe been in more Super Bowls, you know, although he won. And he won it, but so it's Yeah, I think there was some festering of frustration that had been building. And, hey, did it come to that point where was he told not to, you know, make that play? Or I think he should have just went and done it. Tampa Bay might not even have been a Super Bowl champ last year. But with that said, now, just real quick, I just want to bring something up. You think about this. Bill Belichick reunites with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? You know, it's going to be very interesting. And then with the draft tonight, but, you know, speaking of quarterbacks, you know, what they're going to do. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, with Jimmy going back to New England, if nothing else, it's a guy who knows the system.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the big thing. Hoosie always talked about going back to Brownsville, the thing that made Kevin Rooney such an integral part of the Tyson camp. He knew the system. You know, it's like Ed, you know, Ed is the offensive coordinator, all right? So now he's the head coach, but he knows the offensive system because he was the offensive coordinator, okay? So he knows BX-273 is, you know, is a pass play. But that's what made Rooney so indispensable, along with the fact that he was a link to the fond relationship and deep love and respectful relationship that Tyson had both for Jimmy Takers and custody of Model. So it was more than just a system, but that was helpful. You know, you turn around and say, okay, you know what, let's run 2X72, and everybody knows what play you're running. It's not like, oh, what are they running? Jimmy, but, you know, if they got rid of him the first time and he hasn't been that successful, and what makes you bring him back?
I don't know. But he knows the system. Bill Belichick knows him. So, you know, it's a very good option for Belichick.
Well, I mean,
how about Cam Newton?
The point you make here.
How about Cam Newton?
Well, you know what? It's not so much. I think the big thing here is that he knows the system. And you know something, too, gentlemen? Maybe Belichick, a combination of feeling an obligation and sort of sorry for him. Let me bring him back here. Let him be comfortable. And not only that, no, he's an option, too, to use as a trade. You traded Ed. Who's it? If you trade him the first time, you could trade him again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, if you trade him the first time, you could trade him again. You know, it's bad that the situation with the pandemic didn't allow the best players to be in camp, especially from a defensive side. And like I said, he knows the system. He's a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback. And if nothing else, if he's trade bait the first time, Ed, jump shot, he can be trade bait again.
Fire.
Yeah. Doc Stanley supposed to Block Talk Radio on Trust and Government Network, but let's hop it on that, Ed. Let's hop it at Rodgers has not been happy for a long time, but here's another name. You know, Russell Wilson is not happy in Seattle.
Oh, it's settled now. It's settled now. It's all right now. Seems to be pieces and cream now.
Really?
They talked it out. Him and Pete Carroll talked it out, and they got together and talked it out. So. He ain't going nowhere.
Well, I mean, I know he's the face of that franchise, and
period.
But
period.
Ed could in the mix of causing the thoughts of could part of the mix of the disenchantment always be that crazy, stupid play in the Super Bowl that, I mean, it cost him back-to-back Super Bowl. And could that remotely have something with the disenchantment and the unhappiness of Russell Wilson in Seattle? I mean, when you go back, you say, okay, you know what? I told you to bring me some bread and milk and eggs. Okay, it's bad enough you didn't bring back the bread and the milk. But, you know, 2 weeks ago I told you to bring back bread and milk, and you did the same thing again. Could that be a new factor, or the past is the past, Ed?
No, I would move on forward. So let's say past is the past, okay? You know, people learn, and players adjust. Coaches also have to adjust. But that's my opinion on that. But, well, here's something I want to throw at you, Mel. All right?
Mm.
Okay? Because now, got some predictions on this draft. All right? Now, the 49ers are not going to take Mac Jones at spot number 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
More accurate, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Boom. But the drop-off from Jones to Justin Fields or Terry Lance in terms of high-efficiency traits is either minimal or non-existent. Meanwhile, the drop-off in dynamic athleticism from Fields or Lance to Jones is substantial. It only makes sense that San Francisco will take the potential home run over the supposedly assured base hit. Okay. Let's see what else. All right. The Patriots will not end the night without a new QB. Here we go. Back to our point earlier, right?
So now, in a case like that, then somebody's leaving.
Well,
if they're taking a QB, well, you do. I mean, I don't know. Look, if they're taking a QB, somebody's leaving, right?
Well,
yeah.
Did New England spend out of the zoo off season solely to give Cam Newton?
Yeah, Danny Football, you all right?
A best, a mediocre passer.
Can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear me?
Another shot.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Post. I'm Tom Brady restructure.
Can you hear me?
No, can you hear me, Danny Football?
I hear you. Now, I know you're a big Muhammad Ali guy, and you guys were personal friends, but I'm here with my father, and he was a Joe Frazier fan.
Okay, do me a favor. Call the show with you and your dad right now. 646-200-0373. 646-200-0373. Call right now. Okay, if you got it, call it.
And also, Ed, you know Antonio Brown resigned with the Tampa Bay, you know.
Yeah, we're waiting for you.
You heard about that, Mr. Ed?
Okay. What's happening with my speakerphone here? Ed?
Yeah.
What the?
Ed, did you hear about Antonio Brown resigned with the Tampa Bay?
Yes. And, hey, there goes Tom Brady again, in my opinion, right? He brought him in. And,
yeah, well, the only place
and,
that somebody he was accepted. Nobody else didn't want him.
Oh, right, you know, the guy is a bit of a, I hate to say it, a head case or something to some teams, whatever. But, you know, Tom Brady has a way of culturing, calming down people, getting him into his system. Tom Brady also took a pay cut. I guess he's comfortable in Florida, especially off season. Gets a lot of
two years, $50 million. You can, how much you could have made?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, that's an excellent point. But you know what? He had them. They can also keep beefing up their offensive line, and that's one thing Tom Brady always had is a good offensive line.
Oh yeah, you gotta have that. I got Danny Football in here with me, so I thought it was apropos.
I want to ask
his
money.
Doc, how you doing, man?
Hoopsa, this is funny. Hoopsa calls me. He's our NBA guy. Danny Football calls me. The first thing he's telling me, he got his dad on his phone. He says, okay, Doc, I know you're a friend of Ali. The Ali guy, he said, my dad's a Joe Frazier guy. Listen, man, it's funny. I Danny, I don't know if you have WhatsApp. I got to send you a couple of videos. And I got, Joe, I first met Joe Frazier. I think I met Joe before I met Ali. John Condon who was the president of boxing and actually was the greatest PR man in history of boxing. I was doing a cable show. And I asked John, could he come on the show? Sports in Action, the late, great Dr. Frank Bannister, my first mentor. In fact, he's the first black guy I have a cable sports show on. And I asked John, could he be on the show? He said, Doc, Mel, because John was my godfather in sports. He said, you know, Mel, I'd like to, but I got to be with Joe because Yank Durham had just passed. I know your dad, remember the famous trainer, Yank Durham. And later on, Joe came up because, as I tell you guys, boxing-wise, man, it was the Garden had two fights a month, and everybody was there. Man, Willie Pepin, and I first met Joe. I did the interview with Joe, and John is there, and John said, Joe, you know Mel? Mel, you know Joe? And we hugged and talked and, you know, built a friendship from there. Joe did one of the last radio shows that he did with us. It was the – and I'm thinking – how long ago has to be? It had to be the 45th anniversary of Ali Frazier, and nobody was doing anything. And Harold Weston, the first black matchmaker and only one in history of magic, could call me. And we did some. Joe joined them. We had a great time, and it was one of the last times Joe was on radio. It may have been his last show, or surely one of the last one or two. But Joe, I remember asking Joe one time, and said, Joe, best fight he ever fought? He said, yeah, he said, but George beat me up. And we laughed. And I don't know if people realized, Joe only lost to two guys twice.
George
Foreman, whose birthday is beat Joe twice. Joe's birthday is the 12th of January. The 17th of January is Ali's birthday. Joe is sandwiched in between, birthday-wise, the only two guys who ever beat him. And I got to see one of those defeats, the second Ali Frazier fight, and Joe fought George the second time out to the Nassau Coliseum, and he came in with a ball head, and Elizabeth Taylor was ringside, and that was the second and last time that Joe Frazier fought George Foreman, and I think it might have been his last defeat. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, he retired after that.
Yeah, because no, I was trying to figure that was after the Rumble. The Thriller in Manila, yeah, but it was, though. But, yeah, smoking. Boxers, I've said, are the greatest of all the athletes I've covered by the grace of God, where all great things come from. All we got time for autographs and pictures and interviews. And I got some back interviews, me and Joe laughing and fixing my tie and stuff.
Carlson was on our show.
I think,
God bless his soul.
Yeah. And you know, the thing I told Joe, and Joe won the biggest fight in the history of mankind. Somebody told me, we were talking yesterday, man, there was a sparring session, and I know your dad must love this, between Ken Norton and Joe Frazier. And Ken just threw a nice little jab there. And one of the guys said, well, you know what? He said, strangely enough, I would take Kenny over Joe. I said, man, are you crazy? I said, if Joe beat Muhammad Ali, he ain't got no problem beating Kenny Norton. Are you serious? You know what I mean? He's going to go 4-4 against Koufax. I think you can get a hit or two off Whitey Ford. But the NFL, my man, I got NFL head. Mr. Football.
Ken Norton,
okay.
Was Joe's sparring partner. Ken Norton
Who's that?
Was Joe's partner for the Foreman fight. You know that, right?
No. What was his name again? Kenny Norton?
Ken Norton was Joe's sparring partner in Jamaica. They flew Ken Norton into Jamaica to spar with Joe. And I know this firsthand because I promoted fights in Jamaica. The old-time Jamaican guy said, you know, Ken Norton came there to prove himself. And although Joe was a more experienced fighter at the time, you know, Kenny Norton was trying to prove himself in those sparring sessions. So he wore Joe down because it was almost like a fight every day. You know, those old-time guys, it was a fight. There wasn't any sparring going on. So,
yeah, you know, and when I saw the video yesterday, I saw that. They might have been clashing. You know, it was they may have had their headgear on, but their head was into, you know, proving a point. And I was surprised in seeing Dr. Stanley Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Garbage Network. We got them all here. And I was just taken back by the jab. That I saw
that Kenny was throwing. I said, wow, you know, I didn't really kind of recognize, because you kind of looked at Kenny's physique more so than you did his box when he came into the boxing building. But Danny Football's here, NFL Ed is here, and Hoops is here. And Danny, you said your dad is with you too, right?
My dad's over here. He's the biggest Joe Frazier guy going. So, you know,
for a minute. We got time for him. Put Dad on the phone, baby. Doc said he's part of the Box Talk Radio and Trusted Guard Radio Network. Danny Football, NFL, the Hoops. And what's your dad's name?
Hey, Doc, Smoking Joe. Smoking Joe's the man.
No, what's your first name, sir?
What? He wanted to know what your first name is.
Al.
Okay, so we can call you Smoking Joe Al. You know, Like I said, Al, I told the fans this year, Dr. Sandy Sports, their Block Talk Radio, Trusted Guard Network, NFL Draft tonight, 646-200-0373. You want 646-200-0373. If you want to call. You know what? What I remember is, first me and Joe, but, you know, Joe Smoking Al only lost to two guys. And I don't know if people realize that, but his birthday is sandwiched in between both of them. January is the month of Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, and and Smoking Joe's birthday. Foreman's birthday the 10th, Joe's is the 12th, Ali the 17th. The last day of January, January 31st, is the birthday of the first black boxing commissioner in New York State, who happened to be Jackie Robinson. So you've got some great guys. You know, Jackie Robinson's birthday. You got Ali. You got Joe. You got Foreman's birthday. Buddy McGirt has the same birthday as Ali. Roy Jones Jr. is on the 6th. You got 15, 16, and 17. Bernard Hopkins had the same birthday as Dr. King. 16th is Roy Jones Jr. And the 17th is Buddy McGirt and Muhammad Ali's birthday. And I said, you know, the 10th and the 12th is Foreman and Frazier. Smoking out, Joe, a great fighter. A great guy. You're a Frazier guy, and I ask a lot of people, Smoking Al, who do you? I think I have to answer this. Who do you like in a Frazier Mike Tyson fight?
Who do you want to win, Tyson or Frazier? Who do you think would win, Frazier versus Tyson?
I don't know.
hey, Doc, I'm going to tell you a secret, Doc. I'm going to tell you a secret about my dad with Tyson. Right. So when I was a little kid. The Tyson fights used to be coming up, right? And you know, Mike, he could get reckless from time to time. But you know, you want to talk about a secret fan? So I'm gonna tell you a story. So Tyson would be getting ready to fight. My dad would say, oh, you know, we're not watching the Tyson fight. We're not watching Tyson no more. Blah blah, all this stuff. You know, like after he bit Evander and all that. And then Saturday night would come around. Let me tell you a secret about my dad. All right, I don't know if he'll tell anybody. And I said, Dad, what are we doing tonight? He goes, we're watching Tyson. Well, watch your
mic,
he said.
It reminds me. I remember Emmanuel Stewart, my late dear friend Emmanuel. He said, you know what, when Tyson first came, he said, you know, I couldn't wait to get home on a Friday night to see Mike Tyson knock somebody. He said, I don't know who it was going to be, but I couldn't wait to get home on a Friday night to see Mike Tyson knock somebody out. Boxing fans, you know, your dad is in the circle of I call the most intelligent and the most devoted fans in sports, because boxing fans know their craft. You know, it's not like the football season where, and even more so now, where you're inundated with stats and football, basketball season, baseball season. Boxing fans don't have that luxury. They can't cut the TV on and get the Rand stats. They can't cut the TV on and find out where Riddick Bowe or Ray Rock. You know, and I never forget, the Rand's fighting Davey Moore. He's over at the legendary Gleason's Gym, and I'm watching him as he trains, and as I come down the steps, there's a guy standing at the bottom of the steps. And I say to the guy, he says, as I come down the steps, he looks at me, he says, hey, man, he's always been my fighter. I think the guy's from Panama. I says, where are you from in Panama? He says, I'm not from Panama, I'm from Guyana. And that hit my point. You know, here's a guy from Guyana that says a guy in Panama is his fighter. And it just shows you the homework, the dedication, and the intellect. A boxing fan. I find in sports that the most intelligent female fan is a boxing fan. And the boxers, you know, always got time for autographs, always got time for pictures. Ali was at the top of that list. My first mentor, Dr. Frank Bannis, told me, Doc, when you catch a fighter when he's coming up, he never forgets that you were there when he was 2-0 and 3-0. And I remember there's not a place I can walk into. If Buddy McGirt ain't there, he starts screaming, "There goes Mel Stanley," you know what I mean? Hector Camacho. Anytime I was around, you know, he'd come up. He was fighting Ramirez, and my director of photography, Dennis Mips, we were sitting there, and when I got through, there was a horde of people that asked Hector a question, and there was a horde of media around us, and then they all broke up. And Dennis said, "You know what? Everybody was listening, but he's only talking to you." The boxers have a sense of gratitude and the mind of elephant. They don't forget the people who were there with them in the beginning. And as they elevate as champion, they never lose the gratitude, the affection, and the sort of the positive debt they feel that you thought enough of them when nobody else was thinking about them. And the boxers are just the best. And then the champions, you know, they're all great guys. And the Ray Leonard and Tommy and Ali and Frazier, the Holy Fowl. I was taken back. Dr. Andy Sports, the Bob Tuck Radio, Trust the Government Network. Because, you know, you never know who's watching. And I remember I have a friend here, Peter McClain, legendary agent of football players in the real football. And he's from Scotland, and he's an agent for some of the great football players over there. And he said he was at an affair. And Evander Holyfield was there. And he met Holyfield because you know, he was in charge of it. He said, "You know, I know you hear this a lot of times," he said, "but, you know, I got a friend back in the States. I don't know if you've met him." He said, "Do you know Doc Stanley?" So he said, Holyfield told him, he said, "Where do you know Doc Stanley from?" "Where do you know Doc Stanley from?" You know what I mean? And it was, you know, they're just great guys. They're just great guys. And I don't, you know, smoking out, I don't think the fighters today are nowhere near as good, as fundamentally sound as the guys of yesteryear. Your thoughts on that?
So, Doc, my father just stepped in the other room. I wanted to bring something up on that topic, and then I'll let him interject. I'll go back to him.
Yeah, go ahead. Come on, Danny. I mean, we can't hear football. No, it's funny. Who's talking football? Danny's talking basketball. Go ahead, Danny.
No. Well, here's the thing, Doc, and I'm listening to you loud and clear, so that's why I want to capitalize on what you said. So two things, okay? I want to say one comment because my father's great. It's so funny now because my father's a farmer. He was never big into sports. The only sport he ever watched was boxing. He was never into football. The only football
really?
Player he ever knew was Johnny Unitas. Yeah, boxing is the only sport, you know. He's tough, old-school Italian-American. You know, a lot of those guys, it was baseball and football. He watched a little bit of baseball and boxing. He was very little bit baseball. You know, Yankee Clippers probably the last – him and Yogi Berra and Jackie Robinson are probably – and Hank Aaron are probably the only guys he could tell you about. And Willie Mays, okay? So after that, you're talking boxing, you know, Rocky Marciano, Joe Frazier, Ali, those guys. But I want to say a quick comment on the heavyweights, and then let's get to football because I got a Brady comment. So what I'm going to say is with the heavyweights, and you actually mentioned the third guy, because to me there's two equalizers in the heavyweight division. One of them was Sonny Liston, and the other one was George Foreman, okay?
Mm.
And the only guy who had the anecdote for them was Muhammad because not only did he have all those skills, you know, it's so funny that people who don't know enough about boxing, they think about, you know, Ali, like, oh, he's fast and he's this and he stings like a bee and he floats this and that. And that's great, and he did have all that. But people neglect the fact that he had the best chin, maybe in any weight division, definitely in the heavyweight division. This guy took punches from guys that just sent people to different stratospheres, okay? And that's what, in my view, with all the skill and taking philanthropy and all the great things he did in the world, you know, out of it, and in the ring, Ali had the greatest chin. But when you talk about a guy that could change the game, I had a guy argue with me the other day that Anthony Joshua is this great heavyweight and all these things. And I said, listen, if he was fighting George Foreman or he had to get in there with a guy, forget Ali. Forget, because Ali's on his own stratosphere himself. But you're talking about a Foreman. And you're talking about a Sonny Liston, and you said Mike Tyson is the other guy who I and you know what, Mike deserves to knock me out because I didn't think of him myself. But Mike would be the other guy. There's only a couple heavyweights where if they touch you, you know, I don't care who you are, they could change the night, you know. And Mike would be up there with George and in my view, with Sonny, okay? And so I want to hear what you think about that, Doc, and then I'm going to give you my Tom Brady deal. And what do you think about what
I just said? There's no question. I told people, Dr. Sandy's brought the Block Talk Radio Trust and Guard Network. We started out talking football, supposedly. And now, listen, if Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, doesn't fight Sonny Liston, he still would have been champion. Sonny Liston, and we talked about that. Well, I just talked with somebody last night. Sonny Liston, Joe Louis, George, I told somebody today about that. My man Tony. I said Tony Jones. Sonny Liston, Joe Louis, George Foreman. Most devastating jabs in boxing. I mean, we're talking about the example I'm trying to portray to you fans is that it's like a guy going to the plate and bunting the ball, trying to bunt and hitting home run, or a line drive base hitting the right center field. Okay, that's how devastating, because the jab is basically a feel out punch. Oh, there he is. Now, I want to jab him with the left, or if you're left hand, jab him with the right and counter. But a lot of times, Sonny Liston and Joe Louis and Foreman would jab, there'd be nobody there because they knocked the guy out. That's how fortified and strong they were. A Sonny Liston, George Foreman fight is a heck of a fight. And people don't understand, you know, people avoided Sonny in the early part of his career. And Gus D'Amato, and I've redundantly said this, Gus D'Amato knew that Floyd Patterson could not beat Sonny Liston. And he redundantly made excuses for Floyd not to fight him. And Floyd, being the class act he was, and you know, Floyd Patterson was the first person that I got a photograph picture from. I'm covering one of my first fights as I'm going through the press entrance. Out comes Howard Cosell. Good evening, young man. And Floyd Patterson was in the boxing commissioner. I said, Mr. Patterson, can I get an autograph? And I give him a piece of paper, and he stops. He says, hey, look, you know what? What's your name? Give me your address. I'll mail you a picture. Sure enough, 3 days later, in the mail, to Melvin Stanley, your friend, Floyd Patterson. Cuss knew that Floyd could not beat Sonny Liston. But the class act that Floyd was, he said, hey, man, he's a number one contender. He's a number one contender. He earned the shot. Let's forget about the prison time. You know, he paid for that, and we don't know what that's about. That's irrelevant. He's a number one contender.
Don't forget his step,
deserves title shot.
Tracy,
and that's
don't
it.
Forget
him and Foreman is a heck of a fight. George, you know, and your dad would agree, the intellect of the fighters that era. Angelo said, Ali went into the rope-a-dope because George was cutting off the ring. Okay? When they went down, I talked to somebody today, Tony, about this. When they sat down to discuss training for Floyd Patterson, Ernie Wheelwright told Ali, champ, you have to understand this guy's punching power. He can kill you just doing what he knows, not trying to. His power, so he can kill you by just hitting you, you know, in normalcy. Not trying to hurt you, just basically trying to hit you. So, I mean, you talk about George Foreman, oldest man to win the heavyweight championship of the world. I'm talking about George, oldest man to win the heavyweight championship of the world. He became a big guy. He loves guitar music. He became a buddy. We always talk about the guitar music. Yeah. Well, sure.
Doc,
come on.
Do you know Sal Torrance?
Who's that?
Sal Torrance. He trained Riddick Bowe to the heavyweight title, and then he was the first understudy of Eddie Futch.
Eddie Futch, yeah, Eddie Futch.
Well, Sal Torrance was his understudy, and he had a fighter out in the L.A. area back in when Foreman was coming up, and they were talking about him fighting Frazier. So, of course, Eddie Futch was training Frazier. So I had a personal conversation with Sal one day, and he said, I got to tell you something about Foreman. He said, you know, Eddie had called me and said, bring that guy you got out to spar with Foreman, because they're talking about him fighting Joe, and I want to know some stuff about him and how we're going to beat him. And so he said, I'd never seen a fighter who, when you jabbed, he'd jab your jab, and he'd punch right through your hand, and he'd hit you in the face with it. His it was like a superhuman force. He said, I had a really good fighter who'd won almost all his amateur fights. And he said, George Foreman beat this kid so bad after two or three rounds, we couldn't follow him anymore. And he said, I called Eddie and said, Eddie, I got some bad news for you. And he said, well, what's that? He goes, this guy Foreman is something else. He said, this guy hits with such force, and he knows he's got the force, and he knows how to put those forceful punches in succession to knock you out. You know, some guys hit hard, but they can't put it all together, you know?
Yeah, George, it's like a power hitter who can't hit the ball. You know, he can't hit the home run.
Right. And he said, this guy knows how to hurt you, and he knows how to get you out of there, and he's just a mean dude, and he's just a rough guy. And he goes, when Joe's got to come in, and this guy's got that outside distance, and he goes, when Joe's coming in, he's going to be getting hit with stuff that almost nobody's been hit with. And he said, Eddie Futch was on the other end of the phone, you know, calling from Philadelphia. He's like, what? He goes, I'm telling you right now. He goes, Eddie, he goes, you guys shouldn't take this fight. He goes, well, he's the number, you know, this is the fight they're making. It's big money, and George is knocking everybody out. And he goes, Eddie, he's not.
Well, you know what, I tell you something to cut you off. Actually, Joe ran away from fighting Ali again. He took less money to fight George, okay, running away from Ali. People forget, and your dad smoking out. You know, Joe took a tremendous beating that first round. I mean, there was, you know, I remember, I think it was Sports Illustrated, does this look to the face of a winner? There was rumors, and they mentioned it on this segment when they did the fight back in March, and I had already known, by the grace of God, about the story. They thought Joe was going to die. They thought Joe was going to die, and the word got to Ali. And
Stop.
Ali said,
go ahead.
No. So, and then Ali said, go ahead, Danny.
No, I'm saying you're talking about an era of fighters where, you know, do you want to, you know, pick your poison? Do you want to fight Ali where he's not going to knock you out in a round, but he'll beat you to death over the rounds? You want to fight Joe, who he'll do the same type of thing in a different way? Do you want to fight a guy like Foreman who's going to bludgeon you? I don't know if you remember a guy by the name of Ron Lyle. I'm sure you do.
Yeah, Ron Lyle. Yeah. Ron Lyle. Well, see, the thing here, Danny, was they underestimated George Foreman.
Ron Lyle would be champion. Just watch his fight with Foreman.
Listen, he'd be champion. Corey be champion. But they underestimated. They figured, hey, you know what? Hey, this is a light fight. You know, we'll pick up some extra money, and then we'll go back to Ali. And I've said this, you never turn down a title shot. Joe lost to George, never saw the title again. I remember Mike Rosman, instead of going straight to fight Matthew Saad Muhammad, he took a tune-up fight with Yaki Lopez. Well, Yaki Lopez wound up fighting Matthew Saad Muhammad, okay?
That's
because
right.
He beat him. So, I mean, you know, you can't be taking these tune-up fights. You know, you fight in boxing for the title and the money. And that's why I told Leon Spinks, my buddy, I said, you know what, you don't understand, Leon, that you made four champions when you made the decision, which was the respectful and monetary decision, to fight Ali in a rematch, because the mandatory was Kenny Norton after he had beat Ali. And I said, you know what, first of all, you made four champions. You became champion. Ali came back and beat you. He became a champion. Okay, you didn't fight Kenny, so they gave Kenny the WBC belt, and he fought Larry Holmes. He became champion. So four guys became champion over your move, which was a common-sense move, because you were going to make more money fighting Ali than you're going to fight Kenny Norton. And if you wanted to, if Ali doesn't retire, you do a trilogy. But I said, you know, you didn't realize it, Leon. You became champion. Ali became champion again. They made Kenny a champion, and Larry beat Kenny for the title. He became a champion. But, you know, Joe's camp underestimated Foreman. You know, they think he's a novice. And if I'm correct, George Foreman – no, he was the second. He was the second. Okay. But because Joe was the first black man to win a heavyweight gold medal, and Joe only went to the trials – because of, I can't think of the guy's name, he was the big whoop to do. And he said, oh, yeah, come on, hey, Joe. And Joe wind up winning the medals like Wally Pep. You know, I don't feel good today. Let Garrick play. he never was on first base again. But I can't think of the guy's name. I met his son in years later. But he was the big whoop to do.
You know what goes unsaid about those guys? Like Ali, obviously, and Joe, and Foreman. And even Liston, the people that knew Liston, you know, he gets this moniker of like a tough guy. But everybody that knew Liston, even telling those guys, you know, they said Liston was like a great guy. Like he just, if you met him, And
I have not I have not met
and he would,
any
he,
bad
fighter. He'd hug you and give you the whole
I've
deal.
Met, and you're right. The big
Liston loves kids. You know, Liston did a lot of things for kids.
The bigger they are,
you know that, right?
The bigger they are, the more fun and you know, affectionate they are. I mean, the first time I met Joey, he's talking like we've known for years. You know, Ali. I mean, you know, it's the big guys are the best guys. I guess, you know, and I, by the grace of God, I got a chance to meet Ali and Joe, also Joe Lewis, Ernie Shavers, Kenny Norton, my man Looney Cooney, Shavers, Tim Witherspoon, Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson, Riddick Bowe, Big Daddy Bowe, Shannon Briggs. The big guys are the greatest guys. I think that's a lot to do with they understand their power and understand there's a certain attitude that one must portray as heavyweight champion of the world or as a heavyweight, as a guy that's been there. So, I mean, the boxers are the best. Ray Leonard always got time for autographs and all those Ray, Tommy, always got Hagler, always got time for Duran, my man, 1-1-A, Roberto, Hector, got a chance, Eusebio Pedrosa. So, I mean, boxers, I said for a long time, they're the best. Dr. Stanley Swanson, the Blog Talk Radio, Touch and Go with Network. We got Danny Football, Smoking Out His Dad. We got The Hoopster in the house. Had Lady A earlier joining us. And we also got NFL Ed. And it's time for a little plug. Mr. Bellamy, please.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media. And you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Danny Sports and the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. It's commercial time. Okay. And MegaCare. We go everywhere. MegaCare. 315 East Kingsbridge Road in the Bronx. That's where you want to go for your prescriptions. 10:30 to 4:30 every day. Closed on Saturday and Sunday. MegaCare. We go everywhere. You don't care. We'll do for you. We'll do for you. Dr. Stanley Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trusted Government. This portion of Sports in Depth is brought to you by MegaCare. We go everywhere. 315 Kingsbridge Road in the Bronx. And 10:30 to 4:30 every day. And they will deliver prescriptions any of the five boroughs that you want. MegaCare, we go everywhere. 315 East Kingsbridge Road in the Bronx. We'll give you that phone number later on as we get back to our crew. Yeah, Danny Football. And, well, Danny, you know, we got you in boxing. And, you know, we got tonight we're going to have the... Go ahead. No, finish, Danny. Finish with the boxing you want to go. I got no problem with that. Go ahead.
No. So I was just talking about Doc, let's do a different show. I could talk heavyweight, any these guys. You and I could talk for 2 months straight and probably not even take a water break. You already know that. I know it's draft
right.
I know
you're
it's
right.
Football. I know this thing, and I'm one of the only guys, and I don't know if I've come on the show and tell you, with Brady, you know, Max Kellerman. I know you know Max, and I love Max. Okay.
Max is the Brooklyn – on boxing disciple. Ed and Hoops have heard that for the longest amount of time. You know,
my personal
he saw the greatest boxer of all time, Broken on Boxing, and that's his inspiration. Max is our guy. We love Max. A lot of pride in Max, and he's part of our family. But go ahead now.
And I love Max too. Okay, and a personal friend of mine, Molly Karam, she's from my hometown. You know, here in Chester, Connecticut. She's on the show with him. Okay. And so I'm also personal friends with Jalen Rose. They're you know, friends of the family. So anyway, I love Max. I've watched him coming up. I remember watching Paul Spadafora and you know, Angel Man Freddie Mayweather, all these guys coming up ESPN, Friday Night Fights, the whole nine. And I love Max. I don't know him personally. I'd love to talk boxing with him one day. We'd probably talk for 2 months straight just like you and I would. But anyway, he had mentioned, and I'm not picking on Max, so let me say that. First, I'm just using him as an example now. I'm not picking on Max anyway, but he had said, and a lot of guys said this, that Brady's going to fall off the table at 40 and all this. And, you know, there's always that guy. There's always that Archie Moore. Okay. There's always that Jersey Joe. There's that Bernard Hopkins and there's always whatever sport
Brady.
You get to, Jenny, you, And Brady's that guy of this generation. I mean, Tom Brady has invested in himself when it comes to health, when it comes to diet, when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to studying the game. He studies the game to an extent that some guys are just not willing to do. He understands defenses to the point he understands the defense before they know what they're doing to try to counter what his offense is doing. He's got weapons around him. And until his body breaks down to the point where he can't be a top, you know, and I'm not even saying he's the top guy now. But, I mean, you could say Mahomes is, and I don't know if you watched that Super Bowl last year, but Tom looked okay. You know what I mean? So until he breaks down to the point of no return, the guy's going to keep proving himself.
Tom Brady is
well, he's
okay.
Now remember, he was a 6th-round guy, and nobody said he had a shot.
Well, you know, all that draft stuff don't matter. But yeah, what Tom?
Exactly.
The first time I heard Larry Brown talk about Dr. J, as I was going into the locker room, he said he's a greater superstar off the court than he is on the court. That's Brady. And me and Ed, you remember, Eddie, the season that they started, the unbeaten. In fact, the Jets were their first win, and the Giants were their last win. And we got a chance to pull them over. He sit there. And Antonio Brown is there because Brady wants him there. When they tried to dog Randy Moss, you were there, Eddie, at the press conference. Tom said, no, he's a leader. He's a leader. I think he's a leader. No, Tom Brown, Tom Brady, in our society, you know, he's not a white guy. He's the right guy. He's just good people. You know, he's one of these guys who adhere to what Dr. King says, judging one by the contact of their character, not the complexion. And he's, you know, everybody gets, I mean, when Malcolm Butler made that interception, man, he's all over. I heard he gave Malcolm the MVP car. Okay, but, you know, Tom Brady, and now on the other hand, what I'm saying, too, is that, you know, he had some weapons. It seems to me that somehow all these kind of calls come up that favor Brady. Now, that reminds me of Jim Brown. Jim Brown said, you know what, I have nothing to do with this blocking schemes in Cleveland. You know, that's the way things are set up, okay? But, I mean, the call against Kansas City, the call here at first half of the Super Bowl, I'm looking back at it, I said, too, and you still got to win the games. But, you know, you look at New England, okay, they get 6 wins every year automatically. Jets, Buffalo, and Miami. So now there's 10 games left. They are better than a 500 football team. So if they play 500 football, they're 11-5, okay? They still got to win the games, but they're 11-5. But as a quarterback, Brady's one of the greatest of all time. I have a problem with today's quarterbacks, though, because they don't call their own plays. It's like basketball. I'm not buying his point guard, shooting guard stuff. And I came up with something last night that said that there's no way you can start a backcourt and Oscar Robertson's not in it. Because as a shooting guard.
Doc, time out. Wait a minute. I never cut you off, but I have to right now.
Go ahead.
I just got in an argument with a good friend of mine because I don't watch the NBA anymore. And I grew up watching Michael and Malone and you know,
yeah.
I appreciate LeBron. He's a great player. I'm not taking anything away.
Yeah.
He's one of the greats, and that's a nice thought. And I even love – I'll be honest with you, I was not a huge Kobe Bryant fan. I was not, okay?
What?
I'm even before Kobe. Like, before – and he was a great player. I get that.
Yeah.
But up until that era, I'm just not a huge fan of – so if you had a choice, and I know you just said what, would you take Oscar or would you take Kobe?
Oscar who? Or Kobe?
Or Kobe?
Yeah, you only had one.
Would I take Oscar
That's
Kobe?
It. Yeah.
That like asking me, you know, do I want a cold beer or warm beer? It's Oscar.
Okay.
Plus, there's different areas.
So
there's different
Michael,
areas.
So after Michael, I just don't really – like, I appreciate – the only two guys are and, you know, Kobe was great. I mean, I'm not saying anything like that. But,
no question about
but,
it.
You know, But I'm just telling you, I didn't watch basketball after Michael Jordan. I haven't watched basketball since the 4th grade.
I understand. My thing, but I can't – who says – I meant to shoot it at you, too. Doc said he's supposed to be a Blog Talk Radio and Go Network.
You want to talk about Moses Malone and you want to talk about Dr. J, I can talk about
that's his man. Well, hey,
these guys today
– Doc is – you know, I see – Dr. J – if Dr. J had stayed Dr. J, okay, because with the NBA and Hubie Brown said that too, and also his first coach, I can't think of his name, I see his face now. He said, you know, the NBA didn't see Dr. J.
You talk about Kevin Lockery, Doc?
No, no, no. The coach down in Virginia, Hoopsa. I'm not talking about Kevin.
Oh, you talking Al Bianchi.
And Bianchi said the same thing, too.
Bianchi.
I mean, the NBA saw Dr. J that first year. They saw him in the All-Star game, which he won the MVP award on a losing team, and they saw him that first in the finals. And, you know, coaches don't win games, lose. I don't know how Gene Shue didn't get the ball to Doc in the game, but Julius Irving, during the course of his NBA career, had nights where he played and displayed Dr. J. But in the ABA, he displayed Dr. J. If Dr. J had stayed Dr. J, Michael would be second. Also, had the Knicks taken Dr. J, okay, Roy Bowe offered Julius to the Nets to pay for the indemnity rights. And Michael Burke, and I personally know this because I asked Michael Burke this, and he didn't take Dr. J. If Dr. J stayed in New York, okay, and I realize in the ensuing process, he's going to play with Mark Jackson, Bernard King, and Patrick Ewing, Michael Jordan ain't dominating the East. And Oakley comes along, too. But, you know,
But, Doc, you're speaking the same language. So these younger guys today, it's 2000 and up versus 2000 and back. And I always give them Kobe and LeBron, right? So they get Kobe and LeBron. So their thing is, to me, is that these guys today, if you put a team together with Ewing and Robertson or Oscar Robertson and Mike
Russell, Chamberlain. Okay? The Dr. J says his top five is Chamberlain, Russell, Bell, West, and Oscar.
And they would lose to the best players from 2000 and up. And I just can't even speak with people like that because they have no idea what they're talking about. Because they don't
there's two things here. And who so you said, we said first of all, nobody plays with their back to the basket anymore, the center. Everybody's shooting threes. And I'm gonna tell you what Dave DeBuscher told me. I said, Dave, we're in the Hall of Fame room. I said, Dave, if Dipper was around today and he shows you the kind of camaraderie they had, Dipper, I didn't say Will Chamberlain, I said Dipper. I said, if Dipper was around today, I said, could he have 50 points a game? Ed, Hoopster, Danny, Dave slammed his glass down like I called him a motherfucker or something. He was irate. He says, no, he'd get 70. Walt Frazier said the same thing, too. He said if Chandler was around today, he'd average 70 points. Because, first of all, you can't touch people anymore.
No hand checking.
You know what I mean? People understand. The reason why, when you shoot a free throw today, you can't go past the free throw line because when Will Chamberlain played, Will Chamberlain used to dunk all his free throws. So they said, hold on. We got to change this. Now, my thing about Oscar, in today's game, you're talking about point guard and shooting guards. When Oscar Robertson retired from basketball, he was the second highest scorer in the history of the game with a 25.7 scoring average. So that takes care of the shooting guard. Now,
okay, so who is the better free throw shooter, Oscar Robertson or LeBron? Because I get in arguments with
Oscar,
these kids.
Oscar, of course.
Oscar can be better free throw shooter. Oscar 87%. And the other thing that makes Oscar also the perfect guard, he was the second highest scorer in history of the game and number one in assists. There's your point guard. So Oscar's your point guard and your shooting guard. And Oscar told me something I'll never forget. Defensively, Oscar told me, sitting down at the downtown AC club where they had the famous Heisman Trophy Award, sipping on a Cavassier with the legendary Oscar. Oscar told me, ain't nobody ever scored 40 points on me.
Hey,
ain't nobody.
So I guess, right. You could have almost anybody but God. But you're small guys right now, okay, 2000 and back. You're talking Oscar, Michael, and I got Magic Johnson coming off the bench, baby. So guess what? You guys better just not even show up for the game, okay? Because forget till we get into guys like Russell. Who are you going to put on Russell? One of these young guys? And they're going to get knocked out. I'm going to feel like I'm watching a Foreman fight when they're going against
Russell.
Listen, Russell
and Chamberlain are the only two guys to ever average 20 rebounds a career. Okay? And we're not even talking about Elgin Baylor.
Come on.
We're not even talking about Elgin Baylor. 27-13 lifetime. First guy to score 70 points in the game. Still with the NBA record of 63 points in a playoff game. Okay, 1 year he averaged 38-18. Another year he pulled out. I said, Mr. Bailey, you know, 1 year you pulled out 19 rebounds. He looked at me. He said, no big thing. He said, Chamberlain Russell were getting 20. 19 rebounds they gave him a forward. 19 rebounds. There's no forward today whose stats come close to Baylor's. 27-13.
The thing that people don't realize is LeBron, who's a big frame, Oscar averaged more rebounds per game than LeBron. Okay?
Of course.
You're talking
wow.
about a guy who hustle and heart is beyond what player, which, you know, it's a human being thing, I think. I mean, people, I hate to say it, but we're tougher back then than today.
It's a different era, man.
You can't compare.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you
know,
put a fighter in with a guy like George Foreman or Ali and think you're going to, I try not to offend
you
guys.
Danny, talk about tougher. I remember I was reading a report sitting in the press box baseball game, and this guy wasn't going to play that night because he had hoopsa, Ed, Danny, he had turf toe.
What?
He had turf toe, so he couldn't play the game that night. Turf toe.
Yeah, you heard a lot of
that. The first baseman with turf toe. How do you get first
base?
There's no turf around first base.
Hey, Doc.
Turf toe.
Morris Taylor.
The guys, you know, today they may be bigger, they may be stronger, but my thing is that they're nowhere near as fundamentally sound.
Doc Stanley
Sports
Network,
Bob Talk Radio, Touching Government Network. We're talking everything. Because it's going to be just football.
They're not bigger and stronger. I don't even see how. So who's bigger than Wilt Distill? And who's bigger than? Okay, you got a guy maybe an inch taller than Bill Russell, but does he want to bang with him? That's the end of the night. I mean, to me, there's nobody's bigger than Kareem. Who's bigger than Will? I mean, you can't mess with.
And you know
like
what? They haven't even mentioned Gus Johnson.
Okay, the man to be breaking rims.
They haven't even mentioned Dal Dawkins.
I don't know where to put Shaq.
Okay,
Shaq might be put off the bench for the young guys. I mean, we have to give him the 2000
nuts. Wes Unseld. No, only
Willie
man
Green
to win MVP rookie
man,
in, the same,
Green,
in the same year, along with the great Will Chamberlain. Chamberlain's strength is just unbelievable. They say Chamberlain used to take guys on his back up to the basket with him, you know, up to the basket, and his strength was just legendary. Yeah, and
Doc,
I mean, like I said,
you could
today's
play
players.
You could even have Chamberlain, Russell, and Will on the court at the same time. So you could play big, and then you could play small with Magic, Michael, and Oscar. Okay? So,
wow.
I mean, there's not a team that could beat that. There's no team from this era that can beat that.
Well,
okay,
I got a team that I can put on the floor, and Michael and Magic, okay, if you just want to just throw people on the floor, my center – it's Bill Russell. No. I can go. Okay. Chamberlain's the center.
I'd put him as my power forward. I have Bill Russell in my power forward, and his backup would be.
No. I got Russell as a small forward because I got Jabbar as my power forward. I got Chamberlain in the middle. I got Oscar the point guard.
Okay.
And Elgin Baylor the shooting guard. Everybody's shooting for second place in the playoffs. You're just there. You ain't beating that team. Chamberlain in the hole.
Dr. J. Doc, this isn't even a conversation. We have all the greatest players in that era. This isn't even fair. And these guys today will tell you that LeBron and I can't even name half the guys in the NBA today. I watch it.
Hoopsa.
Yeah.
Eddie, what about Bob Pettit? Who? Let me tell you who Bob Pettit is. Bob Pettit, average career-wise, Karl Malone. Okay, Charles Barkley, okay, Scottie Pippen, Larry Bird, okay, Charles Bob Pettit averaged 26 points and 16 rebounds a game career. 26-16 career. And all you guys, yes, Pettit also won a championship. And Bob Pettit, okay, Bob Pettit, Jerry West, and Julius Erving are the only three players to start every game in an All-Star game that they played in. Bob Pettit,
also,
Jerry West, and Dr. J are the only three players to start every single All-Star game that they played in. Who is Bob Pettit? It's remarkable that nobody talks about Pettit. When they put
also,
there was the
Lakers. There were Indianapolis Lakers back in the days.
Who's that?
There was Indianapolis, not the L.A.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that was a great bail. Pettit was the St. Louis Hawks. Dr. Danny Sports, the Black Talk Radio, Trust and Garvey Network, live here in our studio. We got Danny Football, Smoking Al, his dad, NFL Ed, and the Hoopster. Danny, how do you see this draft? Let's talk about football here. We got you and NFL Ed. There's talk. We heard the rumor. Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay, and Tim Tebow is coming back.
I don't know about Tebow coming. This is what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now, as far as the Jets, I know they're looking for the kid out of BYU. He's a terrific quarterback, okay? They need a lot more help than him. They need a lot of people around him. I'm going to say this about Tom Brady, and I'll get back to the New York teams. Tom Brady, he's ridiculous. They only need a couple of positions, a little bit of help. They're probably going to look for an offensive lineman. They're going to look for an elite pass rusher. And they're going to be obviously a contender again. The Giants, to me, are a wild card because they've got some pieces. If Saquon could come back from this injury, okay, they've got to get more out of Hernandez on the line. I know they need more out of guys. You know, they got some young offensive linemen who took some. You know, some tough games last year and hadn't developed as much as they wanted. But from year one to two, from your rookie year and you're playing in the NFL to year two, the amount of development that you can achieve is huge. I need to give a shout-out to the Giants. I got two local guys from here in Connecticut, okay? Spencer is a local guy, a friend of mine, a defensive line coach of the Giants, okay? Their defensive coordinator is a local guy from here in Waterbury, Connecticut. So the New York two African American coaches who are future NFL head coaches, okay, from right here in my home state. So I take big time pride in that. Okay,
good.
One guy who I know.
Well,
personally,
you know what? A couple of things here. It's and unfortunately everybody doesn't think like you do. You know what I mean? As former. Chances of head coaches because, you know, black coaches just don't get the shot.
So we're hopefully that kind of changes. The Rooney Rule, and I agree with Stephen A., my buddy one time, is perpetrating the fraud because the Rooney Rule only says you have to interview him. It doesn't say you have to hire him. So that's like telling me, okay, you know, you're going to give me the soda without ice, but big deal, you're still just giving me a soda. So you either give me with ice or without ice. So the Rooney Rule is in the words of the great man Brooks, perpetrating the fraud. Real quick, let me just shoot this at Ed. Ed, talking about Barkley, whose uncle is the outstanding middleweight fighter, Iran Barkley, the only man to beat Tommy Hearns twice and beat him by decision and then knock him out. Okay? But, Ed, talking about Barkley, you know, this is a big year because – if you know, injuries is just heavy. He may be done. This is a big year for him. And when you're a hurt player on a bad team, that doesn't help the situation, Ed.
Yeah, well, you have to worry about him considering retirement or going somewhere else. You want to get back to the draft? Speaking of NFL.
Yeah. Other question. Here's the big thought, too, Danny and Ed. There's a vicious rumor, as Smitty was saying. Rumor has it. There's talk about Odell winding up in Tampa with Brady. If that happens, it's Super Bowl without question. They'll be in it once again.
That wouldn't be surprised. And why not? Yeah. I mean, Brady's building your quintessential all-star type team where he's got the pieces there, he's got the weapons around him that he could get the football to He's got some backs. I know they're bringing Fournette back again. They're going to go after probably another late round. See, running backs you can get in the late round that can get, give you production. You can still get them in the later rounds, and they can give you production throughout the season. So, I mean, I think we know the Buccaneers are going to be, obviously, if not the favorite, one of the top two or three teams to win the Super Bowl again. But when you go to the Giants and you're talking about guys like Patrick Graham, okay, and you're talking about guys like Sean Spencer, I think the Giants and Joe Judge, I think the Giants have a chance to be a competitive football team this year. They've got to go after some guys.
I think the competitive is one thing, but Barkley's got to be the key. If he's not there, that's a big negative.
Well, and you're right. And you're right.
And, you know, the Giants have not been a stable organization since they lost Jerry Reese. I don't understand. Reese comes in, wins the Super Bowl his first year, wins another one. I don't understand why he still doesn't have a job. It's remarkable. Look at the guys that stayed in for long. He drafted Barkley. He drafted Cruz. He drafted Beckham. Well, how is this guy still not there? And since he's left, we have two different coaches. And you know, I keep wondering what's happening with these situations here. And as a black man, I'm saying, what's black got to do with it? I think it has a lot to do with it. The Giants not even thinking about a black head coach. The Yankees, the 21st century, one-fifth of the century is gone, they're not looking at a black manager. They told Willie Randolph, who was their first black captain, co-captain, with Guidry, he also GM, second baseman, voted the greatest Yankee second baseman, never made an error in postseason. Willie, who we talked to 2 weeks ago, goes to the Yankees and says, any coaching availability, they tell Willie they're going in another direction. And this is the same thing you seem to always tell black athletes. You mean to tell me there's no job for Willie Randolph and the Yankees? World Series winner, greatest second baseman. Chris Chambliss. How does Chris Chambliss get fired as the batting coach of the World Champion Yankees? How do you get fired as the world champion? You're the champ. Jerry West told a great story. Trey said he comes in to the Lakers. He's led the league in scoring. He's second in assists. He's unanimous all-team first pro NBA. He said, I'm a minority. And the Lakers cut him. The Lakers cut him. But, I mean, my thing here is, you talked about alluding to the black coaches. It doesn't seem to work.
This is a personal thing for me now because I know Sean Spencer, okay?
But you see, the point is, guys like GW Mike, guys like NFL Ed, the world is not full of guys like you. It's not full of guys like you. And at the same time, too, you guys are not in the position. You see, that's one of the things that make Brady. That's why Brown is there. That's one of the reasons why Moss was there and stayed. I mean, let's not forget that the Patriots screwed Brady. Brady reconstructed his contract so they could keep Welker, and what they do, they traded him anyway. The Patriot way also screwed the greatest Patriot of all, Tom Brady. So I mean, it's 6 of 1 half dozen of another, but.
Let me tell you something real quick, and this is something that hit on a personal deal. Sean Spencer, mm-hmm. the defensive line coach for the Giants. Now, Patrick Graham also is a Yale University graduate. He's a Waterbury, Connecticut native, okay? One of his best friends was a guy from my hometown who just passed away of cancer by the name of Peter Mazza. So these are personal deals. He's a defensive coordinator for the – he's a future NFL head coach, okay? I don't care if you're African American or you're green or white or teal or what. And this guy's the next real deal, okay? So that's just what it is, okay? And if he doesn't get a job after this season, I mean, we got serious issues in the NFL. But my even more personal than that is Sean Spencer, a guy who I know personally, who should be the next head coach at the University of Connecticut. And the reason I say that is because, him going to the NFL, that's a nice thought. He's an NFL head coach. But he's going to personally, if he becomes, which he should be, the next head coach at the University of Connecticut, who grew up just a few miles away from the university in Hartford, Connecticut, okay, in a tough neighborhood and came out and became, and he's self-made. Okay, when I tell you a guy that's self-made, this is a guy, okay? And he is the real deal. Assistant head coach at Penn State when they're playing in the Fiesta Bowl in front of 100,000 people, when they're playing in the, you know, this guy's a real deal. And he's the type of guy that will go to the University of Connecticut and recruit every kid that deserved to go there, not just from Connecticut, but in surrounding regions. And other. And Connecticut's had some good football teams. They're not known, you know, they're obviously a basketball school. But this is the type of guy that if the University of Connecticut wanted to put themselves on the map and become a Boise State or become a TCU or a top 25 football program, they'd hire this guy. Because I don't care who you think you're going to get at a school like UConn, you hire this guy, he will immediately make you a top 25 through recruiting. No. I'm telling you right now, Doc, this guy will go recruit top athletes, okay, because of his ability, his knowledge, and not just for the game, but his ability to communicate with young kids. And he will, within 3 years, put UConn in the top 25. They'll be playing in major bowl games, and you'll be calling me, Danny Football, I can't believe it. Sean Spencer, you were right. This guy. He should be making $5 million a year. No, hold on. He should be getting paid by the University of Connecticut $5 million a year, okay? He should be the face of Connecticut sports along with Jim Calhoun and Gino Auriemma, and he would be the greatest football coach in this region for the next 100 years. And I'm just telling you right now, because he can recruit, and he can go tell a kid he's going to influence his life. A kid who's from maybe from a tough background, a tough neighborhood, he will forget NFL and this and that. He'll have 30 NFL guys just because he's recruiting the top players, and he's going to get them to go there, okay? And I'd
That's
love
great.
To see him.
Danny Football, let's get back to NFL. Ed, we need some stats on the draft. Talk to me, baby.
Nah, I'm just saying, first of all, it's very interesting to me. The top 10 picks, okay, number 10 is only a senior. The rest are juniors. Number 9 is a sophomore. I find that very interesting, okay? And 4 of them are QBs, all right? So just food for thought on that. And I'm looking forward to seeing it live at 8 o'clock tonight, all right? And then, you know, I could have went down the whole list and everything, but I was on the
phone. Well, go by the list. Go down the whole list. Let's have it real quick. Come on, baby.
No, that's it, man. My computer died because I'm outside without the power cord. And then that's it. I'm on the phone with you for an hour and a half. I'm sorry. But that was the interesting thing I thought was, you know, hey, come on. Out of the top 10 picks, only one is a senior, all right? And number 9 is a sophomore. And I am very interested to see what happens tonight, you know, and where they go.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was a time where, wow, man, I got a picture here of Dr. J, Kenny Anderson, Steve Garvey, Mike Marshall, John Havlicek, Ken Stabler, and Archie Griffith, who is still to date the only guy to win the Heisman Trophy back-to-back. Got a chance to meet him down at the Downtown AC Club when they used to have that affair down at the Downtown AC Club. Great fair. The once-a-time big affair. And he was there. Only guy to win the trophy back-to-back. And I was looking at the fact that at one time, I think Roger Staubach won it as a junior, but he didn't get it back-to-back, number 12 out of Navy. I wonder if everybody won number 12 because of Joe Namath. Well, a lot of guys won number 12 because of Joe Namath. Hoopster, I want to ask you something. The all-time team that Dr. J put, Jerry West, Oscar Robertson, Chamberlain, Russell, Elgin Baylor. Second team was Magic, MJ, Kareem, Karl Malone, and Larry Bird. Your assessment of that? I think we could have subplanted West for Jordan, but I also thought we could have put LeBron in over Malone. Hoopster, help me here, baby. What's your thoughts on that, Hoops? Hoopster, did I leave you? Lost you? Okay. I thought I had the Hoopster here with me.
Okay. I got Hoopster here, but I don't have Hoopster here. So let me get back here.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen?
I'm here, Doc. What do we got?
I'm looking for Hoopster? Are you still with us, Hoopster? Okay. I got Danny Football. Ed, you still with me?
I'm here, Doc. Danny Football's on.
Okay,
you.
I wonder what happened to the Hoopster. Okay, wow.
Mel, I'm here.
No, I got you there. Yeah. I wonder what happened to Hoopster there. I was looking for Hoopster to get his assessment on that pick there. Okay, well, all right, we'll get that there. Okay, moving right along. Draft is at 8 o'clock, another half hour for that. Big Ed will be there live, so we'll come back tomorrow on that. We're looking at that's remarkable. There's only one senior. Ed, I'll hit you first. What's your thoughts on that? Do you feel that and I remember I was with Earl Lloyd, the first black player to play in NBA, and how that working was the Celtics had drafted the first black player, but Earl Lloyd, they were all going to play that day, but his game started earlier, so he was the first at the hard court. And somebody said at a forum, said, you know, what's your feelings on athletes leaving college early? He said, well, no, you can always go back to college and get the money. You know, I mean, go back and get the education. But no, you can't. How many guys, Danny Football, how many guys, Ed? I got Ed Miller here. You know, he's a great sophomore. You know, now you go your junior year, you get hurt. The money's out the window. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can always go back to college. How many guys have done? Isaiah talked how it was special for him because when he got his degree, his mother accepted it for him because she was raised up in a time and era where blacks weren't allowed to go to school. And it was just really special to her to have a cap and gown on and receive a certificate, even though it was Isaiah's. So, and, you know, I just think you're right. You know, you got to leave early. Ed, do you have a problem with guys leaving college early, Ed?
No, because, well, first of all, you're talking to a professional night student. I finished my undergrad engineering degree and my master's in science all at night while working full time.
Wow.
I mean, come on. Off season, can't take a couple of classes. You got a couple of months. You can take a few semesters and then go back and, you know, and eventually finish it. If you're in your junior year, sophomore year was surprising to me when I saw the number 9 pick. Agreed. And especially with playing football, you might get wrecked for life in a way, even in college. You know, can't blame these kids. You know, go for it, get out there, and then college is always there. I mean, you know, you can get wherever you settle down, you can find a great university in your local area. And attend off season full time. Think about it, right? You know. So I just thought it hit me in the head. You know, I said, "Wow," you know. Out of the 10, only one senior, and that was the 10th round, top 10. I'm just going through the top 10. Okay, 4 quarterbacks, and then number 9 was a sophomore, and they're up for the draft tonight. So we'll see what happens. Very interesting, right? Including Terrence, right, out of Clemson. He's the number 1 pick. And there you go. He's a junior.
Okay. I don't have a problem with it. You know what I mean? It's like, where you at, man? You going to join us?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. And like I said, because I remember Earl Lloyd, and I remember the guy said to Earl, the kid said, you know, sort of like, you know, condescending that shit. And Earl said, hey, no, you can always go back to college. Danny, you have to agree with this too, right? Leaving early? You got a problem with it?
So do I or do I not have a problem with it? What do you ask?
Yeah, do you? Listen, Dean Smith used to tell his players, go now. I mean, you got a problem with a kid not staying 4 years or leaving early?
So in basketball... In basketball, I do. The reason in basketball is because I see a lot of kids that go 1 year and they're not ready for the NBA, and then they're done. I think they should go like 2 years, because the thing about some of these great high school players, they come into college and they're very good, but they're not physically ready for that 80 game. You know, playing 20, 30 games is not 80 games, okay? There was a kid by the name of Hamilton a few years ago that played at UConn here again, and Kevin Ollie, and he was a great player, but he needed one more year. He wasn't NBA ready, and he's already out of the league. He's not making any money. He's done. He's not NBA. He needed another year to develop. Football is different because you need those 3 years. I mean, a kid from high school, I don't care how good you are, you couldn't go play 1 year in college football and go play in the National Football League. I mean, you're just going to get destroyed. I mean,
agreed.
Regardless of how good of a player you are, you know, when you start getting hit by these guys who are, you know, 300 pounds that run faster than you, I don't care how good you are, you're just not going to get up from some. Yeah, I mean, so
yeah, but my face again. Speak up, man.
But hang on now. If you've seen the Michael Vick documentary, like Michael made the greatest decision.
But when I tell you, come on, I need you.
So they tried to. So they messed with Michael. You know, what I mean, he had to. You know, and they did this whole deal with the dog. It's a whole different conversation. We could do a whole show on that. What my opinion on that is a joke.
What's that?
And
Who's
in my
George?
Opinion, Mike's one of the greatest players in NFL history. I mean, I don't care what anybody tells me. He just
well,
got
no,
interrupted.
Well, what Michael are we talking about?
Michael Vick.
Michael Vick.
Oh, Michael Vick?
Vick was the man. Oh, I love Vick. Oh, yeah.
And Michael
you know,
Vick.
Here's the thing about Vick. I thought Vick.
Well, they made an example. Doc, let's be real now. They made an example out of him now. So don't compare
no,
him.
I'm glad because you lead me into this. You lead me into this, what I wanted to say. Ed, Danny,
you know,
Michael Vick. Michael Vick. Hold on. Michael Vick played football like a kid in the street. You know what I mean? But here's a sad and touching thing.
So did Allen Iverson.
Michael Vick spent more time in jail over that dog incident than all the cops combined that have killed black people. He spent more time in jail behind dogs, okay, than all the cops combined have spent, okay? And you're right. You know, it's remarkable that you took this attitude that he was the bigger animal than the animals. And his inclusion was by association, you know, not by hands-on.
Well,
you know, so I mean, it's you know, and I thought he was,
that it's okay to do what he did. I'm going to say that, okay?
No, we're not saying that. Danny, we're not saying that. We're saying that, and you just said it. You just said he was made an example. But what I'm saying is the overall scope of thing now. Okay, I'm going the whole period. How did this guy spend more time in jail over dogs than what all the cops combined have not? Over killing people. It's just sad and touching. Real quickly, hold on where we're going. Hoopsa, I want your take on this. I asked you earlier, and you quite. Okay, Dr. J's first team, Wes, Baylor, Chamberlain, Russell, and Oscar. I say you can take Wes out and put Michael in. I say in the second team, we take out Karl Malone and put LeBron James. Now, Marion Boykin made a very good point, and Julius actually has to put this on himself. But Julius Erving could be Dr. J, second team now, Dr. J, Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, and Magic Johnson.
Well,
you got a problem with that?
Can I say something? This is a different era.
Yeah, why don't you say something?
Huh? It's a different era, and who cares?
Yeah, but see, I'm not buying
that
era stuff.
That's
a game. You can play the game. I'm not buying that era stuff because
that's his team. That's Julius Erving. You can
the era today,
That's Doc's team. That's Doc who he picked for his team.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, looking at that team, do you
great
make
team.
An adjustment? Do you go? I think.
I got no problem
with that. Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to know. Okay.
No problem.
So,
let me
so you have the, so the first team. He got
no problem.
His guys
both
that he loves
are great. Both teams great. Come on. And plus,
okay. So
and
my
doc,
thing with you,
gotta
come
era.
At you. Is Malone better than LeBron?
Yes. Hell yeah. He's
really?
More physical. He's more fit. Are you kidding me? Karl Malone? What? Karl Malone
is
a monster.
I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you, Doc. Back in the day.
Okay, go ahead, baby. Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something.
My goodness.
If I was in the NBA, I'd be dropping 30 points. No defense, no hand checking. Are you kidding me? I would have loved that. I would have loved that. And them days with Karl Malone, you go to the basket, you get your head taken off. You kidding me? LeBron couldn't handle that. He'd be crying. Are you kidding me? I would love to play in the NBA right now. No hand checking rule? Are you kidding me? Man, please. I wish I was in the D. Now they got a D lead? Oh, I wish I was a few years younger. I'll be definitely in that D lead. Are you kidding
Walt me? Walt Frazier and David DeBusschere both, and DeBusschere told me personally, if Will Chamberlain was around today, he'd get 70 points a game. Okay?
Well,
if Will Chamberlain was around today.
Let me double that. 100 points a game.
Okay, so now
50 rebounds a game. Are you kidding me? Like I said, you
proponent. Do you see Earl Monroe said that Will Chamberlain is the greatest player to play the game? Your thoughts on that?
Oh, yes. Yes, he's a monster. 7'1", 305 pounds. Solid. Not a fat on him. He's strong, man. Only one guy who gave him a hard time, that was Willis Reed, your friend. That was the only one who pushed him around was Willis Reed. That was it.
I
never seen nobody
I remember talking
like
Walt
Willis
Frazier.
Reed did that.
The Lakers didn't pay him, so he retired. Elmo Smith was on the team. I remember Gail Goodwin, which to me it showed a total lack of disrespect. You know what I mean? The reason why he got a championship because of I said, Gail, I'm just in the Lakers miss Will Chamberlain? Now, any guy with the Cromer Classic, well, of course we got to miss a player of the caliber of Will Chamberlain. He's one of the greatest players. No. Gail goes, no, we don't miss Will. And I understand if we got Elmore Smith. He's leading the league in block shots. I go to the locker room. I tell Walt Frazier, I said, Clyde, Joe Goodwin said the Lakers don't miss Will Chamberlain. He said, Stan, the reason why Elmore Smith is leading league in block shots because everybody's going down the middle. He said, Chamberlain's body is so hard that if you went down the middle and you hit his body, it's like hitting a concrete slab. So
you know
I don't
know
what to say, sir. He's like a concrete slab.
305 pounds solid. Not a fat on him. 305 pounds, 7'1". Come on.
And another, Ed, jump shot, Danny, another example of a big guy being such a lover. The first time I meet Will Chamberlain, by the grace of God, this portion of Sports and Deb is brought to you by MegaCare. We deliver everywhere, 718-684-5088, 718-684-5088. Fax number 718-685-089. You want to do a show? 347-755-9595, East Cambridge Road. Also, Sam's Shoe Repair, my man Sam at 330 East 65th Street. That's 212-861-2278, 330 East 65th Street. Sam doesn't make the pants too long. He makes the shoes just right. And Mike's Jewelry of 63rd Street. Mike is at 330 East 65th Street. 347-260-4535. He will fit your jewelry, and he will give you the best price if you want to sell your jewelry. You know, the first time I met Will Chamberlain, he's coaching the San Diego Conquistadors, and I'm excited. ABA game. I'm going to meet the great Will Chamberlain. And I walk over. Will Chamberlain is sitting down, Danny. Ed. He's sitting down. Hoopster, Will Chamberlain is sitting down, and he looks down at me and says, I'll never get it. What's happening, big fella? He's sitting down, and he's what's happening, big fella? And he befriended me as few people do. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Block Talk Radio, on the Trust and Government Network. I got Danny Football. I got NFL Ed, and I've got the jump shot partner in the backcourt, the hoops. Gentlemen, I know we're going to roll because I know you guys want to get to the draft, but before we go, I need some last thoughts. I'm going to start with you, Hoopster. Last thoughts before we close out here today, and we get ready to the NFL draft. I know everybody wants to get on and listen to that. Hoopster, some closing thoughts for me, baby.
What do you want to hear?
Well, we talked about that team. I'd like to know your top five. Your top five of all time. Your top five.
Wow. Wow, that's tough. I got Mike, Magic, Jabbar. Wow, that's tough, man. That's
it sounds
tough.
Like
that's tough.
Put together 12 guys who I'd have in my roster, Doc.
That's tough.
No, no, I'm just on this starting five. So you got Magic, you got Mike, you got Kareem in the hole. Now you need two forwards. Who are your forwards?
I like Bob McAdoo. You know, that's my idol. And Elgin Baylor.
Yeah, McAdoo, gentlemen,
that was my idol,
it's remarkable
that
this guy didn't make the top 50, Ed. This guy, in his first 4 years in the league, won Rookie of the Year, MVP, and scoring. I think he's one of the 50 greatest players. He's great. He's great. That's how it looks like. McAdoo, Elgin Baylor up front, Kareem in the hole, and Magic and Michael. But see, my thing, I have a little problem with people alluding Magic for being tall and not giving the credit to Chamberlain. They say, well, he was tall. But you salute KD and Magic for being tall, but you distract from the ability of Chamberlain. Ed, we talked about this. Ed, what's your feeling, Ed? I think it's unfair. I mean, just because he's tall doesn't mean he has to be good. And I've argued with you before, Ed. Too many times they say, well, Chamberlain was good only because he was tall, but you're saying Magic is great because he is tall, Eddie.
Chamberlain came in, and maybe that's why people like, well, no one ever saw the giant that they, you know, in the NBA. And it was like, you know, but no, he was still a great player, and he would have done it, you know, even going into years if he could have played on or if he came in at a different time. Wilt was great. You know, one other guy I got to really recommend, though, on – there's so many. This other gentleman just said that. You know, how can you pick five? I got to throw Larry Bird into the mix. And how
many? Well, no, listen. You know what? I'll give you a team of 12. But I'm just trying to say, who's the first five guys you're going to put on the floor? Now, Hoops has said it's McAdoo. It's Elgin Baylor, who's so often looked. And he's got Magic and Mike, who's a big backcourt of this era, and Kareem. Kareem's dad was a cop. I worked with Kareem's dad for a while, and they still have a picture of Kareem, and Kareem is very proudly always mentions his dad being a cop. They told me his dad, Danny, Hoopster, and Ed, his dad was a great jazz trombone player who should have considered that as a career prior to becoming a cop. After a couple, but that's a hell of a starting five that you got.
On.
You got Kareem in the hole.
Doc, I got
you
my
got
12 when you're ready.
Kareem was Lou Alcindor, and Lou Alcindor went to a local school in New York City,
Power High School. I know that.
All my friends were going to LaSalle Academy, and he helped beat them, and he beat them against another guy who was a great basketball player, but was a pitcher for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pirates, excuse me.
are you talking about Candelario?
Yeah, Candelario. And I talked to Candelario about it. And I said, two of my neighbors, they were brothers a year apart. And they both played on the varsity team. And he goes, yeah, I know the Smokes. They call the Smokers.
You know what? It's funny. They say when Danny Mertor came to visit Candelario, the neighbor was so rough, he walked Mertor Danny Mertor was the first manager to field an all-black lineup. Third base, Jose Begon. Second base, Jack Hernandez. Second base, Dave Cash. First base, Willie Stargell. Manny Sanguin behind the plate. Doc Ellis on the mound. Center field, who should be in the Hall of Fame, Al Oliver. Third, left field, Gene Kleins. And at right field, Roberto Clemente. A 12, I like that. Ed, okay, I go with that. I go, it's a guy that doesn't get a lot of ink. That's a great lineup that you give me there, too, Hoopster. McAdoo, who
no,
I
like,
thought
you Doc, can I say something? That's
come
tough,
on, come on,
that's
baby.
Tough to pick, that's tough to pick lineups like that. And I was saying
no,
earlier.
Listen. You can give me 12, but to me, it's clear that if I got a starting five, okay, the first guard is Oscar Robertson. There's no ifs, and buts about it.
Oh, yeah.
And last night, I thought about it, gentlemen, I validated that. Okay? If you're talking about a shooting guard, Oscar was the second highest scorer in the history of the game when he retired, 25.7. Only Jordan has a higher scoring average than Oscar, okay? But as a point guard, which I don't buy, he was number one in assists. When he retired from basketball, I had to do a college speech. When he retired from basketball, he was the second highest scorer in history of the game, and number one assist. Now, second guard, I told Tiny, he said, no, don't forget what, but I'll put Mike. Mike is my second guard. In the middle, it's got to be Chamberlain. Don't tell me about Russell's championships because like Ted Williams said, if you supplanted Russell where Chamberlain was and Chamberlain where Russell was, you could have got the same results in Boston with Chamberlain, but Russell's team would have not been the same team.
Well, can I say something? If Chamberlain was they won more championships.
Doc,
you know what?
Team of 12
you know what?
When you're ready to hear.
Okay, no, hold on. Okay, I like that. You know, and you know what, ladies and gentlemen, you hear things here you don't hear anyplace else. And you know, and Ted Williams agreed with you. He said that Chamberlain could have done the same thing for the Celtics that Russell did for them. Said the same thing. Now, Chamberlain's in the hole. The first forward. I don't understand how anybody can think anybody but Elgin Baylor. How can you think of anybody else? But Elgin Baylor, and then the clone to Elgin Baylor is Dr. J. That's my starting five.
Eight straight championships? Come on.
I got Doc.
It'll be more.
I got Baylor. I got Dipper. I got Oscar. I got Jordan. Now, I got to put seven more guys on the team, okay? No problem. No problem, more guys on the team. Larry Bird is one of the seven more guys on the team.
Yeah,
Isaiah Thomas is one of the seven more guys on the team, okay?
Go. Mm-hmm.
I got to have
– you ready to hear?
Good. Hold on. Okay. I got Zeke.
Go ahead.
I got
to
think about Tiny. There's Clyde, there's Earl. Now, I got to have some more forwards. Pettis got to be there. 26-16. 26-16. Pettis got to be there. Russell's got to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I mean, listen, I love Irving Magic Johnson. And I admire John Stockton. There's no team I could put together that John Stockton could fit in my backcourt. There's no team. Now, okay, Danny, give me your 12.
All right, I'm going to have like maybe one or two guys on there that Elgin Baylor and Larry Bird are two guys almost everybody would probably put, and I don't, just because I'm thinking about a team that I would put together, and I'd put a guy in a position.
Hold on. Danny. Danny,
uh-huh.
These are two of the guys. Bird's my man, big jazz guy. I don't understand.
I know.
It's your team. But you know what?
Okay.
I'm glad because you know what? I got him on my team. Give me your 12.
Okay, that's fine. So I got Oscar Robertson and Magic Johnson. I got Michael Jordan.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I got Kareem, Wilt Chamberlain, Karl Malone, and Patrick Ewing.
Okay.
I got Isaiah Thomas. And this is where these four guys here, when I talk about a team, and this is where I'm designing a team now, I got players on my team to do certain things. And I got guys on my team that are going to do certain things that from when I grew up watching the game of basketball, and I haven't watched it in 20 years, I'll be honest with you, but they were so good at this that this is why
I'm
putting
them
up.
Okay, give me the name. Who are they? Who are these guys?
Okay, I got Dennis Rodman. I got Bill Russell, I got Dr. J, and I got Ray Allen.
Ray Allen's bad boy. Yeah, Ray can shoot.
Yeah, but
and
see,
the reason
no threes back in them days to this year. They started counting them this year.
I know.
Ray
you know
good,
what,
but
see,
Ray
I
Allen's good, though.
I think Ray
though.
Allen gets a Ed, you can join it. I think, you know, okay, don't worry. I'll give you some time. I think Ray Allen – because people forget Ray Allen was seen more as a forward jumper. I think he gets a lot of ink for being a 3-point shooter. I don't think nobody was better at that than Reggie Miller until this boy Curry came along. But Reggie gets no ink. And somebody said about Reggie, Reggie made it when you need it. Isaiah Thomas said when Reggie was on my team, Reggie made that shot when you needed it. He kept us in the game. He's overlooked. I think Ray Allen gets a lot of
the
pull.
The reason I like Ray is because Ray
it's your team. It's your team.
Pro shooter.
Well, can I say something about Ray Allen?
You put Ray on the court in a certain situation, and you're going to follow
Danny, go
him.
Go ahead,
He's almost always.
It wasn't for Ray Allen.
Always making a free throw.
It wasn't for Ray Allen. LeBron wouldn't have got that ring. Period.
Okay. No, listen, listen.
Okay.
He is an elite player.
Oh, the Ray,
he's an elite player.
Now,
you know what I mean? And you can do it on me too. I mean, listen, but you know, Ray Allen is not in my 12. That's what I'm saying. You can understand what you're saying. You're saying, Danny, you got role players. If my guys do their job, I don't need role players. I don't need role players. I mean, who plays better defense than Oscar and Jordan in the backcourt or championship? I don't need role players.
Nobody,
but
I got them on my team.
All right.
No, that's your team. That's your team.
They're on my team, Doc.
I love it.
Hey,
Allen's great. I like the pick of Rodman. I think
you
Rodman
followed the wrong guy. That's all I'm saying.
Rodman was picked as a bad boy, but Rodman was a outstanding rebounder.
Definitely.
And part of
the eight
straight
rebounder.
Eight straight rebounder.
Better rebounder than Rodman and Bill Russell.
Yeah,
call me. I'll be waiting for a call.
We could go on.
Because if anybody's going to pull something off the boards better than Bill or Dennis Rodman, call me.
Danny, calm down. Danny, let's not get carried away. Guys can pull down rebounds better than Rodman. Let's start with Chamberlain. Let me add Bob Pettit at 16 a game. Let me add Elgin Baylor, who had an 18-year and a 19-year rebound a game. That's three.
Don't forget Moses Malone, Doc.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so listen. Dennis was an integral part of.
Dennis Rodman's good, though.
He's
good.
I love this, man. This is a great show. Ladies and gentlemen, calm down. We're going to leave. We're going to see the draft.
Okay.
Dennis
right.
was an integral part. But when you talk about better rebounders, Barkley's a better rebounder. Okay. Elgin Baylor's a better rebounder. Chamberlain's a better rebounder. Pettit's a better rebounder. You ever heard of Nate Thurman?
He was a beast.
Huh?
He was
Come
a beast.
On, man. I mean, but that's your team, and I like it. But Rodman's not on
got,
my team.
Doc? Who else he got, Doc? Let me hear who else he got on his team.
No, he's got. Danny, give us your team one more time, baby.
Okay, so I got Oscar Robinson, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. You probably heard of those two guys.
Of course.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I got Will Chamberlain.
Boss.
I got Will Chamberlain.
Hey, Ed, did you hear him?
I know you guys
he thinks we're one of those two guys.
I know you guys are picking me apart. Hey, I know you guys are picking me apart. But
No, hell no.
I got Karl Malone. He was okay. I got Patrick Ewing.
I like
Isaiah
Malone.
Thomas. See, again, I'm building a team. I got Isaiah Thomas. He's going to be one of my guards. I'm sorry if you don't like him, but he was pretty good.
You had a great team.
Hey, don't forget, I got
Dennis Rodman. If you don't like him,
I was a Bulls fan.
If you don't like Rodman, I like Carmen Electra more than you. Okay?
My thing is when you said nobody rebounded better than Dennis. I'm just saying I got Pettit.
All right, I'm not gonna
I got Tamman throwing 20 a game.
Okay,
I got Pettit doing 16.
Nobody. I'm saying he was one of the great rebounders in the system that they created there. So I'm going to utilize
D, that was a different era, man. That was different era.
Dennis won back-to-back defensive player of the year. And then there's Dennis
Russell,
was a great.
Eight rebounding titles. So, hey, Dennis Rodman's good, too,
Doc. Listen, he's coming off the bench now. He's Bill Russell's backup. So that's not a bad deal, okay?
No, that's not bad.
No.
I got Dr. J. And Ray Allen, I know you guys might say certain to, but look up the statistics. He's one of the greatest free throw shooters of all time. So when Ray's on the court, you're going to follow him. Hold on. Don't follow Ray now when we're beating y'all. Because you're going to be upset.
Hey.
And Doc will be saying, Ray's not one of the greats, but he hit all the free throws and he beat us.
Hey, like I said, if it wasn't for Ray Allen, LeBron would have got that ring when he beat the Spurs.
Allen.
Marvin Gaye has this to say before we all get ready to go away for the draft. Don't nobody move.
Real quick, Will Chamberlain, he missed a lot of foul shots when I was a young little boy
We know that.
To win, and did beat the Lakers in the championship. Remember
he was
that?
The worst foul shooter. What? He shoot with one hand. I remember that. Yeah, I know.
It was like,
but you know what? He wouldn't have missed him if they didn't implement that rule. He couldn't go past the line. Hold on, Marvin Gaye, this is say before we go on our way. Mr. Gaye,
all
please,
right.
Baby.
I
hold
got
my number, fellas.
Question. Gentlemen, enjoy the draft.
Who really cares?
Don't move. Ed, hold on there. Don't go, baby. Oh, she's going to the okay.
Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life. For the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, but who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Getting ready to run. Matt's a heck of a team, though. And, you know, he took some of my guys. So he ain't got Bird Hill on his team, but he got Doc on his team. So you ain't gonna put Ali Berry, Sophia Loren on the team. In my mind, but you are taking Wrinkly. It was so fair and Holly. Actually, it's Voice of Death Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Garvin Network. A commercial will be close out for you.
Every now and then I find
Sports in Depth on Draft Day has been brought to you by Sam Shoe Repair. Bags, zippers, orthopedic shoes. 330 East 65th Street between 1st and 2nd Avenues. 212-861-2278. 212-861-2278. 330 East 65th Street between 1st and 2nd Avenue. And also his cohort, another, then the Watchman Extraordinaire. And that's his good buddy, Michael. Mike is there too. Same location. And if you need a watch fixed, you need jewelry shined, need anything from a jewelry standpoint of view, it's Mike's Jewelry of 65th Street, 330 East 65th Street, East 347-260-4535. Email him, watchmaker65@aol.com. 347-260-4535. And also for your pharmaceutical needs, it's MegaCare. We go everywhere. 718-684-5088. 718-684-5088. 315 East Kingsbridge Road in the Bronx, but we deliver all over the five boroughs. MegaCare, we'll get it there. We go everywhere. Doc Sandy Sports in the Blog Talk Radio and Trust and God Radio Network. It's time to close it out. Ready to run. Hope you enjoyed the show. We're getting ready to go. Everybody, one more time. It's us away. Life, hey, for me, very simply, you do what you need, you always simply just, hey, put your trust, your faith, guidance, love, the one above. All right.
Understands every fear, so we must put our trust in God. He knows our reasons why, nights we must sit and cry, so we must put our trust in God.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Sports in Depth Thursday, NFL, NBA, Sports in Depth, and with Doc Stanley, Doc Stanley Sr. in the Sports 88, the Hoopster, the football, NFL, Ed, in-depth, informative, education, historical look at the world of sports. This renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. Diversity for both a daily historical perspective, also both an in-depth look perspective, not only of the sports of our times, but too of the players and performers of said events, of now and yesteryear. Sports in Depth. AKSID also brings us the unique strategies of sports to the true perspective. Not just athletics, of course, as it takes raw, God-given talent and conditioning. It takes a God-blessed mind fueled with passion, determination, intellect, with competing and accomplishing too. With the in-depth knowledge and the diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse, Sports in Depth, through the world in depth. Posse tonight, NFL Ed, any football, Hoopster, First Lady of the Sweet Science, Lady A. Thanks for joining us once again, where we always rope the rumors, talk to the issues, and the truth. Thanks to Danny Football's dad, Smoking Al, for joining us on this segment. Service to others is rent you pay. The Rumi on Earth, Muhammad Ali. My explosive system of urgent question is, brothers, I am my brother's keeper, Brother Clemente. Brothers come in all colors, Nelson Mandela. Forgiveness is not a case act, but a permanent state of mind.
Doc Sandy Sports Network, Block Talk Radio, Trust Discovery Network, and tonight, Doc Sandy's words of wit, wisdom, and truth might be a lot of things. One I ain't. Perfect. Doc Sandy Sports Network, Block Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio Network. Thanks for being with us. God bless you all from the bottom of my heart. Bless you all. Trust in God. Sports in Depth. Block Talk Radio. The Trust in God Radio Network. Enjoy the draft. Trust in God.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.